Wednesday and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
do. The blood still works. Praise his holy name. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful to you that the blood still works. It was that precious blood Jesus shed for us that gives us power to fulfill your purpose and plan. For that, we say thank you. Now, bless your word this morning. Bless your people who will hear your word and speak to our hearts as only you can by your spirit. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I want to lift this scripture out of the word of the Lord for your hearing. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about the church that Jesus built. The church that Jesus built. Time won't allow me to go into it, so I will be speaking at this word all day. And I want you to understand that our desire should always be to operate the way that the Lord Jesus Christ designed and desired us to operate within the confines of his church. It's not our church. It's his church. He possesses the church. He owns the church. It's important to understand that we share in the church through membership. You know, we're members of the body of Christ and we're members of his church. I share as pastorship, oversight, under shepherd, but it ain't our church. It's his church. He organized it and structured it because he knew he was going back to the Father to handle some unfinished business for us. But he gave us the structure of his church. And so there are some things about the church that I want you to understand. First thing I need you to understand is that the church must be without a doubt, it's an imperative that the church must be supernatural in its operation. Supernatural in its operation. We can't run the church with finite minds, with mundane abilities, with our own perspective. It must be supernatural in operation under the guidance and the flow of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the church Jesus built. It must have all of the requirements in that church necessary to feed and to minister to the people of God. The gifts must be present and operational in a supernatural context to be able to know that we are sufficient in the church, in Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost. We can't let traditions, especially of men, dictate the supernatural running of God's church. It's not about how we do it, it's about how He does it. And when the church recognizes that, you're going to see we have a part in our human part, in our natural part, to operate in a supernatural fashion. That's why He calls attention to Peter. And I'll come back and deal with all of that, but this is how it is structured. So if it's supernatural in its operation, that must be a reason for it. What is the reason, preacher? The reason for it is because it was supernatural in its origin. The church is supernatural in its origin. You know, when you look at most churches, they tell you when it was founded and who did it. Who is the leader, the head of that church? And so when you go through the different religions and so forth, it is usually headed by a man. But Jesus Christ's church is supernatural in its origin. So He's the head of His church. Because it's important for you to recognize that He Himself said, and I will build upon this rock, I will build personal possession. My church. And then lastly, here's you going to find that the church must be, and it will be, supernatural in its outcome. Because He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now let's go back, because in the beginning He says, and this I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. Peter. Why was this a distinctive person, Peter? What made him different from the rest of the disciples? Well, the fact of the matter is, Jesus called him Peter, which is Greek for Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S, Petros. It means small rock, stone, or pebble. And so his distinctive character was that he was a small stone, small rock, small pebble, Peter. But Jesus didn't say He would build His church upon Peter. He said upon this rock, of which Peter is a part of, a break off of, a little example of. And the word rock in that context is Petra, P-E-T-R-A, which means bedrock, foundation. Peter wasn't big enough for him to build his church upon. But Peter was a piece of the rock. Now this rock was the truth and the principle. He was not talking about a designated place, this rock. He was talking about a definite principle, definitive plan, a definitive plan. Why was this so important? Because Jesus wanted us to understand and to recognize that the church that He would build would be greater than any of us. As a matter of fact, we are the ecclesia, the called out body of believers. Jesus's church is not made of gold and silver and brass, of brick and mortar, of wood, of hay and stubble. His church is built of spiritual matter. That's why the real church is movable. You can't say the real Church of Jesus Christ is located at 7305 Harry Drive or 222 Blunt Avenue. The real church is always on the move. It has a pedestrian mentality like Jesus had. Everywhere you go, the church ought to show up. On your job, the church ought to. At the game, the church ought to. In the supermarket and the mall, the church ought to. When you buying a car, the church ought to. When you picking out this or that, the church ought to. When you dating that man or that woman, the church ought to. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. Because the real church is on the inside of you. His definite plan was to build the church in the hearts and lives of believers. Buildings, whole, house, host the church. But they're not the church. I'm talking about the church that Jesus built. And so, my brothers and sisters, not only was Peter a distinctive person because of that, one of the things that you would also note is the fact that when Jesus, verse 13, came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he was concerned. He asked a question. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 14 gives a noble list of men they thought would be good. Then Jesus flips the question and he says, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then verse 17, he says to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." Listen to this now. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. But flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, he doesn't say, "Blessed art thou, Simon Peter." He says, "Barjona." He speaks to him in his Hebrew origin, stating to him, showing to him, I know, as he gives between verse 17 and 18, three views of Peter's life. He gives a review of his past by stating, "I know who you are. You are Simon Barjona." Barjona is the surname which means son of Jonah. So he lets him know, I know who you are, who your people are, your pedigree is. I know you are of the Hebrew nation. But now look at what he says. He says in verse 18, "And thou art Peter." So now he reassures him of his present. Listen. Because he says, "And thou art Peter." He does not say, listen, "Thou art Barjona" anymore. Because when the Lord changes you, and when he brings you from what you were to what you are or shall become, there is some distinction. So he's saying pretty much, from now on, you will not be called Simon Barjona. You'll be Simon Peter. Lord, I wish I had a helper. All I'm trying to tell you is he was making Peter an example of his salvific experience so that they would know from this point forward, when you have been saved, sanctified, filled with God's Spirit, life changed, made strong, whole and complete, you'll give the credit to Jesus and say, "If he did it for me, he can do the same thing for you." And so now the Greek Peter, Petros, little rock, little pebble, little stone, means that you're a part of the greater truth, the bedrock, the foundation. This rock I will build my church. And Peter would have an important and major role in helping to establish that. by his witness. Well, now Jesus has made some strong suggestions and some strong selections. And the Bible says in John 6 that many folk turned and walked no more with him. Can I tell you, as a leader, you're going to make some decisions that folk won't agree with. And folk will get angry and they'll get upset and they'll leave or they'll fall out or they'll fold their hands, they'll pout, poke their lips out, roll their eyes, shoo, shoo, talk about you, say what you got to say. But when you know what's right, when you're led of God's Spirit, when you know what the end is going to be, you don't worry about all that. Because when all of those, when he, Jesus, told them, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. When they turned and left, he looked at the 12 and said, will you also go away? I ain't begging nobody to stay. I just want to know what I got to work with. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words to eternal life. Man, you're the only one we can go to. We've left everything to follow you. We know who you are and we are sure. Sure. And so from that small group of folk who committed themselves to him, that was one that he had selected that was a devil. But that devil didn't fool Jesus. See, you got to know, sometime you'll have a devil in your team. But you got to know the devil and know what the purpose of that devil is on your team. See, there are some things that a devil will do that good folk just won't do. And so when the devil did what he had to do, he was no longer a part of the team. In other words, everybody has a role to play. And when you play your role, that's it. Amen. Jesus said, didn't I choose you 12 and one of you? Don't question what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And so when he makes all of this clear, I'm talking about the church that Jesus built. It wasn't no democracy. We didn't vote on. It was a Christocracy. Follow me. He didn't say, listen, this is where I want to go. Or where do y'all want to go? Let's take a vote. No, he just, even ones he picked, chose. He walked by and said, follow me. Follow me. Listen. That was not an election. That was a selection. Follow me. Let's go. And so when Jesus started telling them, look, you know where I'm going. One said, no. We don't know the way. And how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So now we have a distinctive person, but we also in Peter because he says, thou art Peter. But then he says that he will build his church upon this rock of truth. And that's a definitive plan. That's the purpose of the church, to fulfill the law of Christ, to fulfill the work of Christ, the worship of God the Father, God the Son, through God the Holy Ghost. His church, I know this might shock you, but I want to tell you, is all about him. It's conspicuously obvious that it ain't about you. So stop trying to make his church about you, about what you want and what you think. Because if it were that important, he would have written it in the book and put your name to it. But your thoughts are too limited. They are too temporal, short-sighted for him to quote you on anything. He sees it from the beginning to the end and through in the middle. He knows all about it. That's why he's the authority of the word and expects us to obey his word. And then the last piece of this word comes in the fact that he says, and joining the fact that he's going to build his church, and when he's through, the gates of hell. shall not prevail against it. And look at this. This is a divine promise. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against. And the gates of hell, a divine promise, shall not prevail. And the gates of hell. This is a divine promise from Jesus Christ. When I build my church, the gates of hell shall not. I don't care how much hell there is against the church. I don't even care how much hell there is in the church. It's not going to prevail against this church. And he proved that by having one of the hellish folk in his own team. And he wound up committing suicide and going to hell. So hell will not prevail against. I got so much on my heart and mind right now. I can't really finish this text like I want to. But let me just throw out what the gates of hell represent in searching out this phrase, the gates of hell. Of course, gates represents the entrance and or exit point to a place. But the place that it refers to is a vast prison. Listen at this, and I'm closing out. A vast prison. You see, Satan has captured and caught many souls that are imprisoned under his power and in his kingdom. Jesus came to set the captives free. Now here's what he said. When he builds his church, that vast prison won't be larger than his church. Listen at me well. That he's going to use folk like Peter, who's going to preach one message and 3,000 souls came. Because the word, life-changing word of Jesus Christ, will liberate the souls. Those who were captives will be set free. Those who were bruised will be at liberty. He's going to change the whole game of what Satan has done and how he has brought the people of God into bondage and set them free through the power of his word. And the church is going to grow and grow and grow till it becomes far larger and greater than the vast prison that holds the souls who are crying to be set free. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that means we've got a job to do. That means we've got to get up off our seats and get out in the streets and tell folk that Jesus saves, that he has power to change, to conquer, and to control every situation of life. And if you'll come to him just as you are, what he's done for me, what he's done for others, he will do the same for you. My brothers, my sisters, your job is to let the world know that Jesus has built a church where whosoever will is welcome to be a part. God bless you and God keep you today. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. There's much that the Lord Jesus has done for all of us. And if by some reason or another you're here today and you're not saved, know Jesus saves. Know that he saves. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've turned back. Maybe you've fallen off or fallen away. But still, he calls you to come. And just as you are, you can come to him. Will you come? Our appeal is for you to have what Jesus wants for you. The Church of Jesus Christ provides for the believer everything that he or she has need of through the Word. Will you come? It's your time. It's your opportunity. This is our last appeal. Will you come? Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you with the remaining.
For my way, you're the.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040, leaving your name, address, and order. Or you can purchase today's message at Stars Beauty Salon, 525 16th Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, on Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
You have just tuned in to Monte L. DeMars' Ministries. Get ready to be propelled into your destiny, stirred for your new season, and empowered with purpose.
That God gave me in the office. He said, you must realize that enemies will form and manifest during your pursuit of building the vision. He said, many times people who turn against you in the time of success were already your enemies prior to success. But success, your success, somebody say my success, your success will begin to show you who your enemies really are. Oh, bless his name. Glory be to God. One of the things that God shared with me, he said, DeMars, many times my people are so naive until they don't recognize or discern who their enemies are. He said, you must be cognizant of your enemy. He said, I don't want you to live in fear. He said, but you must be aware. The Bible says you must know them that labor among you. Am I talking Bible in this house? You must know the people that are walking with you. You must know who's on the wall with you. You must know their spirit. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, know no man after the flesh. He said, but know them after the spirit. Are y'all getting this? Here it is in the word of the Lord. We understand that Nehemiah asked the king, the governor, to go back to Jerusalem because during the time that Israel or Judah was in captivity, the Babylonians and those people that had them in captivity burned down the walls of Jerusalem. And when you go back and study history, you would understand that the walls of a city symbolize